Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew 15 was the gospel reading. And that's the sermon text for tonight. It's on page 821 of your pew Bibles. It's the story of the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus with the request that her child be healed. Jesus, for whatever reason, goes up to Canaan, to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And this woman comes out to meet him, and she's crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he didn't answer her a word. His disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. It looks like, correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like Jesus insults this woman. Like, she comes to him and asks for help. And his first move is he just ignores her. Matthew says he doesn't say even a word. He big times her. He just blows her off. He doesn't look at her. Well, I don't know if he looks at her or not, but he just walks right on by. But she doesn't let up. She keeps yelling out after him. And finally, his disciples get irritated and say, "Hey, can you send her away? Because she won't stop yelling at us." And the implication there is, would you like just do what she wants so that she can go away? Because Jesus then says to them, "Well, it's not my job. I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and she's a Gentile," is what he means. And so, I'm not going to help her out. But she comes in front of him and she says, "I need you to help me." Again, she asks him, "I need you to help me." She's not put off, and he says, "It's not right for me to give the food that's for the children to the dogs." And she says, "But even the dogs get to eat sometimes." And then he says, "Your faith is great. Be it done for you as you want." This troubles me. I actually looked for reasons for why Jesus would say these things and it not be an insult. I just don't like the fact that it looks like Jesus is insulting this woman. That's not the Jesus that I grew up thinking about in Sunday school. I was reading this one commentator who I actually really like and really respect. And he said this. He said, "Well, you have to assume that his facial expression was one that told the woman he was kind of joking around with her a little bit." This is what he says. Here's a direct quote. He says, "We can be quite sure that the smile on Jesus' face and the compassion in his eyes robbed the words," you know, that calling her a dog, basically, "robbed the words of all insult and bitterness." The only thing, though, is I don't know if we can be quite sure. I think that that's not what's happening in the text. I think that Jesus is blowing this woman off, and then when she keeps on coming into his face with it, he finally insults her. And like I said, we don't like this. We don't like this. Why would Jesus insult her? I mean, one easy answer is what he says is, "Well, she's a Gentile. I just came from the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But just a few chapters previously, in chapter 8, another Gentile comes up to Jesus, a Roman centurion, in fact, certainly much more offensive, on the offensive scale in the eyes of a Jew. Well, I don't know where the Canaanites and the Roman overlords fit on that scale, but a Roman centurion comes and says to Jesus, "Look, I got a servant who I really love, and this servant is sick. But can you help me out?" And Jesus says, "I'm right behind you. Show me the way, and I'll heal the guy." And you remember the story where the Roman centurion says, "Well, you don't even need to come. I know how authority works. Just say the word, and you'll be healed." And Jesus says, "Well, this guy's got great faith, greater than all the people that I know who are Jews." So it's not just that she's a Gentile. He's helped Gentiles out before. Why does he blow this woman off? I really don't know. I don't have an answer. I've thought about this a lot this past couple weeks, and I really don't know why he blows her off. There's no reason given. He just does. And of course, it troubles me like it troubles you. We don't like this Jesus. We read devotional books about Jesus, and they never include Jesus blowing us off or ignoring us. Right? We don't hardly ever sing hymns where we go to Jesus for help and he says, "No, I'm not going to help you. I only help the children and you're a dog." We don't ever see hymns like that. Right? It's troubling that Jesus is like this. But here's the funny thing. I think it's at least it's interesting. It's actually a Jesus that's fairly recognizable, I think, to most of us. We talk a lot about the Jesus who you go to him and he opens his arms and embraces you and weeps gentle therapeutic tears down off of his cheeks onto your shoulders and you just feel wonderful. We think a lot about that Jesus, but the fact is most of our experience with Jesus involves us praying to Jesus and not hearing anything back. Most of our personal experience with Jesus mirrors what's happening with this Canaanite woman. This actually looks like real life. Have you ever gone to Jesus and said, "Jesus, can you heal me?" And he says, "I'm right behind you. Show me the way. Be to it as you will." No, but lots of times we ask for stuff from Jesus and we don't hear anything. And this bugs us. It bugs a lot of us. I'll tell you a little bit of a personal story. I won't tell you the story. I'll just allude to the story. A lot of you know that I fell away from the faith in my adult life. And one of the main reasons was, listen to this. This is not going to be philosophical or anything. So one of the main reasons is I lost my job. I lost my job. Right. So saying it out loud like that seems a little silly. But you know, many of you have lost your job before, and you know that it's actually a crisis experience. It shakes your ideology. It shakes you guys are Christians, your belief in God. But what does that say about me? That I would be driven from the faith because I lost my job. It says that I want that therapeutic Jesus, who I go to and say, "Jesus, can I please have a nice job?" And he says, "Be to it as you will. Your faith has given you a good job." That's the Jesus I want. And if I don't get that Jesus, I can't hardly handle it. I talk to a lot of kids. I talk to a lot of kids at Lewis and Clark and other places. I've had lots of good conversations with some of the kids at Metro East Lutheran High School. And with a lot of them, we talk about reasons why not to believe in Christianity. Here's why I can't believe in Christianity, they'll say to me. You'd be surprised that hardly any of these reasons have to do with logic or science or philosophy. Almost always it comes down to, I just don't like him. I can't believe in a God, that's what they say. I can't believe in a God who would be worshipped by the kind of people who have done the bad things that Christians have done. I can't believe in a God who would let my grandmother get cancer and suffer for 4 years before she died. I can't believe in a God who would create a world where all these bad things, wars and natural disasters and poverty and racism would happen. I can't believe in a God like that. And if I say, "Well, here's reasons why you should believe in God," it's not important. They don't like God, and it doesn't matter to them if he's real or not. They just don't like him, and they're not going to believe in him. Here's the place where you have to come to. You have to say to yourself, it doesn't matter. Okay, so you don't like God. You don't like that this world has been created and that there's poverty and racism. You don't like that your grandmother got cancer and suffered for 4 years. I actually don't like that either. But it doesn't matter if I like God or not. On some level, it doesn't matter how I feel about God. It doesn't matter if I don't like or not when he doesn't answer my prayers right away. What matters is, and this is where this woman's at right here. Like, he ignores her. Most of us, when we get ignored, if I walk up to you in the hallway and I say, "Hey, how you doing?" and I stick out my hand and you totally like walk past me, I'll just be like, okay. They don't want to talk to me. I don't want to talk to them. That's not going to work for this woman. Jesus ignores her. She comes back and gets in his face. He ramps it up. He insults her. I'm not giving my food to the dogs. It's for the children. She doesn't stop. See, what she gets and what we all need to get is it doesn't matter how you feel about God. It doesn't matter if you like him or not. He is God, and he is determined to save you, regardless of how touchy-feely he may or may not be. And sometimes he is. Sometimes we do see gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But sometimes we see the Jesus who insults people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's God, and he's determined to save you. It doesn't matter how you feel about it, or if you like him or not, or if he likes you or not, or how any of that works. He's committed through his love for you, which again, I'm not saying he doesn't love you, but his love doesn't all the time look touchy-feely. Through his love for you, he's committed to save you regardless of how you feel or how you don't feel. I know this is frustrating. I know it's frustrating to pray that God would heal you, or to pray that God would fix your marriage, or to pray that God would bring your kids back to the faith, or to pray that God would provide for you financially, and then to look around at your Christian brothers and sisters, and they look like children who are sitting there at the table eating all the food. Everything looks great. And you've got nothing. You're just a dog that wants some crumbs. Jesus knows what that feels like too. Jesus knows what it feels like to pray and ask God for something. To pray and say to God, will you figure out a way to let this cup pass from me? And to get nothing back. Silence. The loneliness, the pain so intense that he cries out in the middle of dying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But Jesus knows, the Father knows, this Canaanite woman knows, that none of that matters. How the Father actually feels about the Son feels about the Father, how God feels about you, or how you feel about God. God is determined to save you. Amen.